Thank you, Corey and team, for leading us. Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Morning.
All right. Well, let me add my welcome along to Alvin's and Corey's. My name is Jade. I'm one of the pastors here, and I love the opportunity to meet you, especially if you're new. So please stop by on the way out. I'll be at the back, and quick hello. I'd love to be able to connect with you. Well, it seemed like the perfect plan. See, on our family's recent road trip down to Northern California, we entered into the San Francisco Bay Area, and we found this hidden gem of a campground. It was up on top of a mountain in Oakland, just on the east side of the bay. And it seemed perfect because it was close enough to the city where we could drive in each morning. We could go to Fisherman's Wharf and do the boat tour of the San Francisco Bay and rent some bikes and cross the Golden Gate Bridge. I think we have a picture of that one here. It's not on bikes, but, you know, pretty epic kind of view right there. But the campground was close enough to do that, but it was far enough away to avoid the high city accommodation prices of San Francisco. At $25 a night, how could you go wrong? The plan seemed perfect. And so as we were driving into beautiful San Francisco on a hot July day, long drive, we're tired, it's kind of mid-afternoon, we can see the city on the right-hand side, the Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge, and we make the turn to our camp or to our campsite. We make the right turn, everything is going according to plan until it's not. Until we hit this sign on the road that leads to the campground. The road was entirely closed, and there was a little sign that said, if you're planning to go to the campground, you're going to have to go on exit 13 off of highway such and such. And we thought, didn't we pass that like an hour ago? And we looked on the map, and it was rerouting us around the other side of the mountain, about an hour detour. Well, a little dismayed and disappointed, we set off on this long detour, and wouldn't you know it, we got to the right road to close to the campground, and that road too was closed. And a man was standing there, and he said, power lines have fallen on the road that leads to the campground, and there's no access for at least the next few hours. And then I got grumpy. What happens when your plans hit a roadblock? Do you get grumpy? I do. And if most people think, you know, JD's a very easygoing, kind of goes with the flow kind of guy, you need to spend more time with my family because they will tell you when my plans, maybe plan A doesn't work and then plan B doesn't work, I start to get a little grumpy. And this morning we're going to look at what happens when our plans hit a roadblock, when we hit a dead end. When we hit a dead end according to our plans that seem so good on paper. Maybe we hit a dead end in our career. Maybe we hit a dead end in our marriage or in a close relationship. The plans that we thought were so good and strategic and wise, we come up to a dead end and we wonder, how did I get here? And where do I go? And God, where are you in the midst of this? Well, this morning we're going to read a story about a man named Paul who encounters a number of roadblocks and finally a dead end and wonders, God, how are you leading me through this? What does Paul do? What do we do when we find ourselves in that place? Well, let's find out. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 16. It's also going to be on the screen. Here is God's word. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia. It's probably pretty cold in that region, I'm guessing. And Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, we believe that we are on a journey. We're on a journey individually. We are on a journey as a church community. And we believe that the Spirit of God is guiding that journey, is leading us. And Lord, sometimes it is frustrating, it is perplexing, the way that you lead us. Sometimes we hit these roadblocks, these dead ends, and they don't make much sense to us. And we wonder if you have left us, if you have abandoned us. We don't know what the step forward is. But we pray that you would open up this passage, this theme for us this morning. And that Spirit of God, that you would connect this story with our lives and our journey. We want to be led by your Holy Spirit. Hear our desire to be led by you. Guide us, we pray, in Christ's name, amen. Well, this morning we're beginning a new series over the next few weeks, looking at the vision and the values of our church, 10th Church. And we're going to walk through one each week, and this morning we're looking at one of our core convictions, our guiding principle, is that we are dependent, we're reliant on the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit leads us and guides us in our path and in our direction forward. The Spirit guides us individually as members of this church, but the Spirit also guides us corporately, and we're going to look at both of those things. We recognize that we are invited to make plans for our lives and our church. We're invited to make good plans, wise and strategic plans, and yet, at the same time, we're invited to hold those plans lightly, to always be willing to yield our plans to God's plans, trusting that God's guidance for us, God's plans are even better than our own. A little bit of context for this story. We're introduced to a man named Paul and his companions. And if you're new to the Bible, what you need to know about Paul is he's one of the most significant characters in the New Testament. He actually wrote most of the New Testament. And Paul, like the Helonia family, likes road trips. In fact, the Bible is full of Paul's road trips. Some of the most significant things that happen in Paul's life happen while he's traveling. In fact, it was on a road trip to Damascus where Paul first encountered Jesus Christ. Paul had plans to go there to be a good Pharisee, to be a kind of religious zealot, almost a religious kind of terrorist, and God interrupted his plans. God wrecked Paul's plans. Someone once said that God wrecks your plan if he knows your plan is going to wreck you. And God changes the course of Paul's life on the road to Damascus. The Bible tells us that as Paul was traveling, he saw an incredibly bright light. And Paul was not wearing solar eclipse glasses on this particular day. And he got knocked off of his horse, and the direction of his life forever changed. The other thing you need to know about Paul is that Paul is a brilliant strategic mind. Paul is one of the most visionary and strategic leaders in the ancient world. When Paul makes plans, they are wise, they are astute, they are thoughtful. Paul doesn't do anything haphazardly. He doesn't do anything by chance. He thinks through what he's going to do, and it makes sense. And so, as we are entering into this story, as Paul is traveling about sharing the good news of Jesus, this is where it gets a bit interesting. Because Paul is carrying on with his plans to travel through Asia preaching the gospel. And we find out that at a certain point, God says no to him. That he encounters roadblocks. That he even encounters a dead end. Listen to verse 6 and 7. As Paul was traveling through Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in the province of Asia. And then in verse 7, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. How did the Spirit of Jesus prevent Paul and his companions? Was it a physical roadblock? Was the road closed? Were power lines down? Or did Paul and his companions have this kind of spiritual gut feeling that this was not the way God was leading them? We're not really told. We know that the Spirit of God can lead us in either of those ways, in both of those ways. But maybe the bigger question is, why would God prevent Paul from preaching in these areas? Don't these people need to hear the gospel? I've got a map here. I know this is there's a lot of names and stuff in this. So I thought I would show you a map, and I have my laser pointer, which I'm really excited to use. This is the only reason I have the map, so I can use the laser pointer. And what we understand here is that Paul was traveling in this area preaching the gospel. And if these names are a bit confusing to you, because this is actually modern-day Turkey here, as I was looking at this, I was like, this is kind of like the Highway 1 coming into Vancouver, all right? So if that helps you to kind of translate. Paul is down here in Surrey, and he crosses the Portman, toll-free, by the way, toll-free. And Paul's plan really is to preach the gospel in Asia. Think of Richmond and Delta. This is where Paul is really feels compelled to go. Why? Because Paul is from this area. And the scripture says that they were prevented from preaching in Asia. So Paul thinks, well, maybe I'll go to the North Shore here. That would be a good spot to, these people need to hear the gospel, and the Spirit of Jesus prevented him. Paul is not doing anything immoral or illegal. He is doing actually what God has called him to do, and the Spirit says no. The Spirit shuts the door. And so Paul, not really knowing what else to do, if you can put the map back up for a second, continues on his journey. And it's like he's going down Grandview Highway here, and he can't turn left and he can't turn right, and he ends up at UBC. He ends up at a place called Troas. Now, the interesting thing about this is, with all due respect to Troas, Troas is kind of a dead end. If you're wanting to explore all of Asia and preach the gospel, and you find yourself just stuck at this end, bounded by the great Aegean Sea, it's kind of a dead end. And I'm imagining Paul is sitting there going, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you closing these doors on my plans, my good plans, my strategic plans, the things you've called me to do? What am I doing in Troas? You ever reached a dead end in your life? A dead end in your career? You applied for that promotion that you thought you were perfect for, and the door was slammed shut. You applied for that university program. And on paper, it seemed like the right thing. It seemed like the good thing. And yet you get this email, this letter, a rejection letter that says, sorry, you've not been admitted. And you scratch your head and you're perplexed. And you think, God, what are you doing? You ever reached a dead end emotionally or spiritually and wondered, why is this so hard? God, why do I encounter closed door after closed door after closed door? Troas is not plan A for Paul. It's not plan B. Maybe at best, it's plan C. You know, this week I had coffee with somebody in the neighborhood here who is a graduate student at UBC. And she told me, I said, why did you plan to come to UBC? And she said, well, I didn't. I applied to four or five other schools in the United States and the doors closed. So UBC is kind of like plan E for me. What do we do when we get to that place and say, God, where are you leading me here? I remember a time several years ago when I was unemployed. And every day, every week, I would be start the week feeling somewhat hopeful. I would track down certain leads, and invariably over weeks and even months, all the doors seemed to be closing. And each time that door slammed shut, that stung, and I felt rejected. And after months went by of this, probably 6 months of being unemployed and another 6 months of being underemployed, I just felt completely frustrated and perplexed as to what God was doing in my life. I felt like I had reached the dead end of my career. I wondered if I was going to work again. I wondered where God was. And when we come to that place, that dead end in our lives or in our career, those are the questions that we ask. But the story doesn't end here. My story didn't end in Troas, and Paul's story didn't end in Troas either. Because what if God needs to bring us to Troas, to the dead end, before he reveals the next step? What if those no's are not rejections, but they are redirections? What if when God closes the door in one place, he actually opens the door in another place? Could it be that we go from a dead end to a new direction? The scripture tells us that while Paul was at this dead end of Troas, during the night, he had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." In the middle of my dead end of unemployment, I got a call from a Japanese-Canadian pastor named Ken who said, "Come over to 10th Avenue Church and help us." Okay, it wasn't exactly like that, but you get the point. Sometimes it's in the dead ends that we have no sense of what God is doing, that it's precisely there that God can give us a new call that we never thought possible. If we can go back to the map for a second. As I said before, every indication was that Paul wanted to travel this region of Asia. He wanted to circle around and encourage the people and preach the gospel. That's what his vision was. But God had a different thing in mind. He received a call to Macedonia to cross the Aegean Sea, the big scary Aegean Sea. And the gospel going to Macedonia, scholars tell us, was groundbreaking. It was the first time the gospel went to Europe. And historians will tell us that this was monumental. Because once the gospel reached Europe, missionaries took it to East Asia, to Africa, to South America. Missionaries took the gospel to North America, to Vancouver. Missionaries took the gospel to Fraser Street and 24th Avenue. Paul's vision was Asia, Asia, Asia. And God said to him, "Paul, I have something better in mind. Your plans may be good, but I have something better." And as we, as a people, desire to be led by the Spirit, we make our plans. We make wise plans. We make strategic plans. We make plans that make sense. And yet always we hold those plans lightly and say, "God, you know better. God, you have a plan for my life that is even better than my plan. You have a plan for this church, 10th East Van, that is even better than my plan." And so at any point, God, I'm willing to yield that plan to you. God's no is not a rejection, but it is a redirection in our lives. So for those of us who are facing dead ends or roadblocks, let me invite you to pray along these lines. "God, every door seems to be shutting on my plans. What are you stirring up in me? What direction might you be pulling me? What new risk or challenge might you be leading me to take on?" Now, back in 2014, we were planning to start this congregation here at 10th East Van. And one of the first things that we had to do was we had to find a meeting place, a location. And in my mind, I thought, okay, we will search all of East Vancouver. We'll narrow it down to the top five, and then we will pick the very best one. Well, we started investigating and looking at different places, and door after door after door was closed to us. Places that we thought were great would say, oh, you can't meet here every Sunday. I thought you meant just once in a while. No, we kind of need every Sunday. Well, try this place, and we drive over there. I remember driving through neighborhoods, just blindly driving through neighborhoods, saying, maybe I'll run into some kind of a building, maybe a warehouse. We looked at movie theaters. We looked at schools. We looked at other churches. We looked at leasing space. We tried to uncover every possibility. I remember going on Kingsway down in the Collingwood area, and there was an old theater called the Collingwood Theater. Anybody know where that is? Ever been to a movie there? It was all boarded up. It wasn't. There was no movies being shown, and somehow we tracked down a number, and the owner said, well, I'll meet you there on Saturday at such and such time. And he starts taking all of these padlocks off the doors and, you know, asks me why I'm interested in theater and so on and so forth. And we get in there, and he says, oh, by the way, we have no power in here. And so there I am with my little iPhone flashlight walking around in this dusty theater trying to imagine, could I see a congregation meeting here? And that door closed. And I remember just feeling really frustrated that all these doors were closing and thinking, we kind of announced that we're starting this church in East Vancouver. Maybe we should have found a location first. What are we going to do? I imagine we're going to be meeting in my home, you know, the kids in the garage, and this is not, what are we going to do? And I remember just not being able to sleep at night, filled with anxiety because all these doors were being closed. And then suddenly, out of the blue, we discovered that this building, the Polish Community Center, was available in the afternoons from, I think, 3 o'clock on. And we thought, well, what if we didn't have church in the morning? What if we had it at, say, 5 o'clock? That wasn't really on my radar, but could this be a door that God was opening for us? And I remember sharing that with people. Hey, we're thinking of a service at 5 o'clock, and people are just like, 5 o'clock? That's kind of a weird time, isn't it? What am I supposed to do, eat before or after? And am I going to be out in time for the kids to be able to get to bed? And there was just these strange looks of what am I supposed to do? And then we thought, well, what if once in a while we had a meal? We had a community meal after the church service. And it was as if these dead ends or these roadblocks were actually, in some way, the Spirit guiding us to new beginnings, to new opportunities. And then last year, about a year ago at this time, we, in consultation with the hall, had an opportunity to move the service to the morning. And those very same people who told me 5 o'clock was really strange, and they're like, 5 o'clock, that's just weird. They told me, you know what, I thought it was strange, but I really got used to it, and now I like it. And now that I've adjusted, you're changing it to 10:15 a.m. You're just messing with me. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're just messing with you. And after you're all settled at 10:15, we'll move it to 8 a.m. Could it be that as we pray and we strategize and we put our plans before the Lord, that sometimes he just closes doors and opens up other ones? And that most of all, more than anything, we desire as a church community to be dependent upon God's Spirit. More than making this a great church, more than making this a successful church that people talk about, our desire is really to say, Lord, this is your church. How are you, as the Spirit of God, leading us and guiding us? And would you help us as we step out in faith? Would you guide us? Would you close certain doors if we're not supposed to go there? And would you open doors? What is the Macedonia that you may be calling us to? This past spring, many of you were involved in a process, one of the biggest surveys I think we've ever done at Tent. I believe it was some 800 people responded. And that is going into a five-year strategic plan that we are entering into prayerfully and thoughtfully, and we are holding lightly to say, God, we know that you speak through the community, and we want to listen to that, and we want to be good planners, and we also want to be aware of how you're leading and guiding us. Leading us through this process is our executive director, Betty McLeod, and Pastor Ken interviewed Betty this week, and we have a clip of it. Let's take a look.
World of Banking, RBC, and you became our executive director. That's a big change. Why did you make that decision?
Well, approximately 5 years ago, I started to experience a restlessness, and it was particularly to do with my work life. And I had recently celebrated 35 years of my career with RBC.
That's amazing.
And I was, seeking God's guidance for my next phase of life and work. And I knew and had a yearning and desire to continue to work, but I was really getting the sense that it was going to be outside of RBC.
Right. And so how did you go about processing and discerning this big decision?
Well, it started with incorporating some time of solitude and spending some time in my favorite spot in my office on a daily basis, and then also taking some time for regular fasting. Mm-hmm. I also adopted some prayer practices that I learned through the contemplative prayer evenings that were being held here at 10th, which also led me to spend some time with mentors and a spiritual director. And they were really instrumental in helping me ask the questions I needed to ask of myself during this time and also during my time with God. And so those were really some of the key things that really helped me to hear the Spirit of God. And looking back, I can recall a time when we were at a board meeting and we were talking about this role, the executive role, and what that future opportunity of the role could be to help support you and the team. And I remember this sense of excitement that stirred within me as I started to potentially envision myself in the role.
Great. And I think that one of the signs that we are in the will of God or moving in that direction is a sense of energy and excitement. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. Now, Betty, you're one of the primary architects of this emerging five-year plan. What's been your prayer as you've engaged this, and how can we as a community be praying for this as well?
Thank you. Well, it needs to start with prayer. And, many weeks prior to our planning time, God really led me with a prayer of saying, God, what is it that you want us to see, and what is it that you want us to hear? And that really became a focus, as in our weekly staff meetings, at our leadership meetings. And it really was about seeking God's guidance, because we really wanted to make sure that he was leading us and that we weren't leading the plan.
Right. Yeah.
And as well, we engaged members of our prayer team to come join us to pray over the leaders so that we would be faithful as we went along this journey. And also, too, when we actually got into the strategic planning days, we invited members of our prayer team to come each morning to open up our time in prayer to really have the Holy Spirit guide us and give us that wisdom. So now we've got, we're moving forward on that plan, and there's lots to do around that, but we still need to remain open-handed. I really do believe that, and it's a prayer that I have that we need to continue to ask to see and hear what God wants us to and to have his ongoing guidance. So really my prayer, and I thank you for your prayers, to date, is really to continue to pray for myself and for the whole team so that we have God's continued guidance. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. So please be praying for us in this process.
Do you believe that the Spirit of God is leading us? Do you believe that the Spirit of God is leading you? And do you trust that the Spirit's plans for your life are even better than your own plans? Are you willing to hold those plans that you have, good plans, strategic plans, thoughtful plans, are you willing to hold them lightly before God? Maybe if you're at the dead end, you're very willing to hold them lightly because all of your plans haven't worked out. And you're more open than ever to what God might say or do in your life. You know, sometimes I wish that God would give us the whole master plan to our lives. I wonder if Paul was sitting at Troas and thinking, of course, God, why didn't you just tell me the whole plan to start with? Do you ever wish that God would say things like, okay, you're going to go to this school and you're going to study this, and then you're going to work at this place for so many years, and then I'm going to lead you here and there, and ultimately you'll arrive at your destination called ultimate fulfillment. I would love it if God laid out the whole master plan for our church and for my life. But he leads us, the Spirit leads us step by step. The Spirit leads us step by step in a posture where we say, God, I trust you. I know that you're good. As we think about this five-year plan, which many of you have participated in, you're going to hear more about that in the weeks to come. One of the very early findings is probably not a surprise to you, because one of the challenges, roadblocks, if you will, that we found here at 10th is that while we have a very big front door, a very open front door, meaning we often have many new people coming into our community, people who are seeking, people who are exploring their faith, people who are new to the city, we really do have a gift of being a place of welcome. The challenge for us is that we also have a pretty big side door and back door. And maybe it's the transientness of Vancouver. There's probably many reasons for this. But we find ourselves praying, Lord, we don't want to be a kind of revolving door church where people come in and don't get connected, don't feel at home, and then leave. We don't want to be a place where people fall through the cracks. And so what Alvin and Corey and I and our church leadership find ourselves praying is, Lord, help us to see people. Help no one to fall through the cracks. People who want to stay, want to get connected, want to be involved. May they find this a place where they can grow and flourish and be known. So as we pray through those things, be praying with us as a church community. And I want to conclude here. It's fall. It's the beginning of a new season in some way for many of you. Could it be a season for you where God is inviting you to step out in a new way? Paul was called to go to Macedonia, something that clearly wasn't on his mind. Could it be that this fall that you are being invited to step out, to see how the Spirit will guide you and direct you? Maybe it's to take a course. Maybe it's to go to therapy. Maybe it's to be honest for the first time in a relationship that you're in. Maybe it's to walk across the street and meet a neighbor. What is the risky thing that God might be calling you to that maybe isn't on your horizon and yet you feel the Spirit stirring? Can you trust that God is going to lead and guide you in that, that his plans for your life are even better than yours? Jesus Christ encountered a dead end. It was the cross. The cross is the ultimate dead end in life, isn't it? There was no escape. There was no way out. And Jesus Christ endured it. He faced it and endured our worst enemy, death itself. And in the most miraculous turnaround in human history, God took Jesus from this dead end and gave him a new beginning. The resurrection, the most glorious new beginning ever. And friends, so it is that this cross and the resurrection gives us hope that whatever we are facing, whatever doors seem to be closing, whatever dead end we find ourselves at, that because of the cross and because of the resurrection, we can have hope. That God can take us from a dead end to a new beginning. Do you desire to be led by his Spirit? Do you desire to step out in ways that maybe are even a little bit scary, are risky, but to know that God is leading you this way, are you open to that? Let's pray together. Lord, I first pray for friends who are here who have faced a number of roadblocks, perhaps are facing a dead end. As they look at the options that are before them, they do not see any good ones, and they are perplexed, and perhaps they even feel abandoned or rejected by you. Would you fill them with hope this morning? Would you remind them of the cross and of the resurrection, and that they can have hope, that in these rejections they can find redirection, that you can do something new in their lives, that you will lead them by your Spirit along a path that is good. Friends, just in the quietness of this moment as we're bowed, I wonder if there is some desire stirring up in you to say, yes, Lord. I want to say yes to whatever plan you have for me and for our church. I want to be led by your Spirit, even though that's a bit scary. Lead me. Help me to hold my plans open before you. How many, by simply raising your hands as a sign to God, would indicate, God, that is my desire. I want to be led by you. Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, our hands are raised. We trust in you. Help us to be a people who are reliant on the leading of your Spirit. We hold our hands open, our lives open, our plans open to you. Lead us, Spirit of God, we pray, in Christ's name.